Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Signs of Life Radio Medium Insight Hour, where we get to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on a variety of topics related to the study of consciousness, spirituality, and, of course, the afterlife. My name is Roman Karpyshka, and as your host, I have the honor and privilege of conversing with many super talented, gifted mediums. And today, we are going to be speaking with Rebecca Ann LoCicero. She has been working as a psychic medium for the last 20 years, connecting with her clients worldwide. Although she has been intuitive her whole life, the knowledge of her afterlife has been a fact that she's faced, experienced, enjoyed, and her mediumship work has brought her joy while bringing healing to others. Her unique style of presenting evidence has captured the attention of many clients as she communicates in a no-nonsense and often humorous fashion. Rebecca Ann is a certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation and one of its active volunteers. She has participated in scientific research, and she is the founder of the Beyond Center in Connecticut. And she's an author of a book called Living with Messages from Heaven, A Guide to Conversations with Beyond. Her website is www.rebeccaann.org. It's all one word, and we'll touch upon that a little bit later. Tonight, our show, as always, is sponsored by a fine levy of supporters, such as the Kamlik Center, Love Knows No Death, Janet Mayer, Hugs from Heaven, Lloyd Auerbach, Dr. Parisietti, and many others. And as always, dear listeners, tonight's show, it's conducted for research and informational purposes only. Your questions are more than welcome, but please keep in mind that Rebecca Ann, she's not going to be performing any readings tonight, okay? And if you have any questions for our esteemed guest, please feel free to call in at 1-888-627-6008. And tonight, our topic is a little bit different than the other times. Our main topic is murders and violent crossings and how that might affect communication. So with all of that said, Rebecca Ann, welcome to the show.
Oh, hello and thank you. How are you, Roman?
I am doing great. How are you?
Good, good. I'm happy to be on.
Oh, we're happy to have you. And we're just, you know, excited that it's going to be it's kind of a cool topic that we're talking about tonight. But, you know, it's like kind of, you know, I'm not a violent person by nature. At least I don't think I am. And here we are going to be talking about murders and violent crossings and how that might affect communication. So listen.
It is definitely a topic that's got a lot of different parts to it. I mean, there's so many different ways to look at it from the victim's family, from the perpetrator's family, from the different ways that the communication comes through when somebody's crossed like that. How the medium can handle it, how the family can handle it, and a lot of forgiveness that needs to be put into place.
Yeah.
There's so many variables.
And you know what? I think it's becoming, you know, are we becoming a more violent society? I think we are.
I don't know the answer to that, to say yes or no, but I think we are becoming more aware of the fact that we are a violent society, that the human race has.
Yeah.
It's not all, you know, rose-colored glasses when you have access to so much information and communication, which also draws more violence.
Yeah.
So in a way, it all feeds itself.
And, you know, as a parent, you know, I'm scared to let my children, like, play outside. And I live in a very, you know, nice neighborhood and everything. It's not like we were kids, you know. You know, go out, stay till supper, and don't come back. Just do whatever you want. It's not like that anymore. And you know what? I don't think it's gotten any more violent, but just like you said, people are more aware of it because of, you know, the instant media communications of, you know, this happening, that happening, and people tend to take that to heart. And, you know, I think we're a more scared society than we were 30, 40 years ago.
I think we're also looking for more substantial reasons for violence and murdered and, you know, situations like that, where if you just go back to the ancient Roman times, you kill somebody to walk over a dead body on the street, it wasn't always like, 10,000 cameras on it and who did this and why did it happen? It was, you know, somebody get the body out of the street. And that was by the masses. Now I think that in a beautiful way, we're almost more ethically responsible. And when somebody isn't, it's highlighted.
Right,
I think that's a huge part of it also.
Right.
Hopefully, I'm hoping that that's the truth.
Yeah. Before we dive into this even more, tell me a little bit about yourself. At what age were you when you started discovering your mediumistic abilities?
Ooh, I do love to talk about all this.
Yeah, come on. Why not?
I'm a little bit different than a lot of the medium mm-hmm. stories that are out there.
Right.
Although some may say that they had this when they were young.
Mm-hmm.
And I have that same story. I never ignored or didn't acknowledge what I had. So in a lot of ways, from the moment I can remember seeing and speaking, I knew that we lived outside our body.
Right.
Whether it was loved ones, which, you know, I'm little, I'm with my parents all the time,
uh-huh.
so they're dead people.
Right.
You know, I remember seeing spirit in my house. That was like my grandfather, even a dog that had passed, a couple people I'd never known before. And there was one situation when I was younger that kind of taught me that things change, but I didn't know it at first. I'll tell you this story.
Okay.
I used to be babysat by a beautiful girl who would come over with her boyfriend, and she was her name was Julie, and she was like friendly with my parents. She was younger, so she was like the babysitter, but she was around a long time,
mm-hmm.
and she would come over often. And I never liked her boyfriend.
Okay.
Did not like him. Would not go near him. Would not, you know, sit with him. Nothing. And there was nothing inappropriate going on. I just didn't like him. I didn't want to be in his energy. I didn't want to be in his vibe. I wound up being the flower girl in their wedding.
Okay.
Sadly and tragically, a year after they got married, he took his life.
He took his own life?
He did.
Oh,
and boy. Julie had come over to the house, and although I don't remember it all in detail, I do remember he came with her in spirit. So I'm probably 6 or 7 at this point in time,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and I remember loving him. And
right.
I remember thinking, wow, I didn't like you, but now I do. And I didn't understand how I could be seeing him in spirit and I could be feeling such a difference in him. And then I said, oh, I didn't like his body, but his soul is pretty cool. And I remember just having this conversation about how with my mom at the time and this poor girl, Julie, you know, 7-year-old talking to her dead husband. But
right.
But she had known because she had seen me growing up. Often I talked to strangers on the couch, you know, things like that. Fast forward, I was the weird kid in school. Always knew what was going on. Tended to wear black because I felt like I needed to hide the vibration or nullify my own. And in college, I hit the dark corners of the library because we're pre-internet. And I found witchcraft books and levitation books and telepathic books and remote viewing. And I'm like, what is all this? You know, energy play and seances. And then somebody brought me at 18 to go get a tarot card reading. And the person just gave me the deck and said, oh, you're supposed to be doing this. And I've really been doing it ever since. So it wasn't something that I wish I could pick a different job. I tried other jobs, but I've been doing this full time. So for a very long time now. But that's kind of how I got into it. You know, I learned, I had mentors and teachers. You can never read enough. I always say, take any class you can and then take from it what you feel. And if they tell you something that you don't like, great. Now you know what you don't like. And
that's a good way to do it.
You kind of have to have both perspectives. So you kind actually of like our topic tonight is a different perspective.
No, just a little bit of introduction about you. So you actually see the spirit. You're that's clairvoyance that you have.
I have all the clairs.
You have all the clairs.
Oh, I do.
Okay. They should call you Claire. All right. Well, that's really, really fascinating stuff. Now, do you, when you do practice like today in modern times, do you have a ritual that you go or invoke to, you know, to start the whole process of spirit communication? Is there something that you normally do, or is there a preferred method that for you, or do they just pop up? How does it work for you?
Well, I guess I have two answers to that. First of all, I do believe I can read anybody, anytime, anywhere in the entire world, not a problem. Even if there's a communication barrier, I do believe I can get the message through. Okay. However, there has to be a purpose. So for me, for doing this work, I think that Spirit and I have basically come to agreement where when it's time for me to work, they're there. When I'm with a group or a person or a gallery or a huge event, it doesn't matter what it is, I do have three rules. So I'll stand in front of or sit in front of whoever I'm about to connect with, and I'll give them these three rules for them to have the best reading from me. And at the same time, I feel like those rules is like dialing the numbers to open up my energy for spirit to connect. Often they'll even interrupt me while I'm trying to give the rules because they'll go, oh, Rebecca's ready, and they'll come in. So it's not a matter of on and off as much as it is a matter of me giving them permission and telling them it's time to connect and believing and knowing that the purpose is there. So if the purpose is there, they show up.
So what are those rules?
The rules are yes and no. I don't want to hear anything from you except yes and no. I'm not trying to prove anything to you. I'm just getting what spirit gives to me and giving it to you. And I'd rather you say no if I'm wrong than to give me the answer. I'd rather get it wrong or not get it at all, because spirit may realize I didn't get it and give it to me another way. And I'm not, you know, don't feed the medium. That's kind of my ethical quote. So yeses and nos are good enough as long as you understand what I'm bringing through. I don't need validation of the story. I just need to have validation you understand what's being said. The next thing that I talk about is that for me, the information they would say yes or no to connects to here or there. So for me, there is heaven. They're going to bring messages through from heaven, but they could bring through birth dates, death dates, or anniversaries, like a month. They may bring through a name, often a full name for me. I usually get the letter, the placement, a male or female, and then I'll usually, I'd say 50 to 60% of the time, I'm lucky enough, they'll give me the whole name. And then I tell them that they could also, you know, they may mention people who are here and who are living. You know, if I crossed over and one of my daughters came to come see a medium, I would hope that the medium would get through the names of my other children for her. So even though they're there, spirit still wants to acknowledge the people that are still living.
Right.
And then the last thing that I talk about, which goes right into our topic, is my rule number three is called trauma versus illness.
Okay.
For me as a medium, there is a huge difference between somebody who's crossed of an illness and somebody who's crossed of a traumatic event.
Right.
All death is traumatic. Agreed?
Of course.
Okay.
My
body accepts a death's information. Well, shoot. The last thing we don't get to talk about before we die is how we died, right? So a lot of times, the spirit wants to bring through, this is what happened to me. It's a huge validation point for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want to know they're okay. So by hearing what happened and that they are communicating in a sense, and it's okay. I'm human. So if your grandmother died on hospice 3 weeks in and everybody got to say goodbye real easy for me, if it was a heart issue or a lung issue or diabetes or whatever the illness may have been that killed somebody and took their life away from them, whether it was a heart attack that was really quick or a stroke, I mean, endless amounts, I've experienced them. Illnesses come through my body so I can share.
When a
traumatic event happens, it's like I can't cover my eyes to the horror movie that they're going to show me how they died, because it's not something that happened inside the body naturally. It's something that happened as a trauma. And I'll often take a very deep breath because I know I'm about to go there, and it feels different for me. It's, I don't want to cover my eyes. I'm not in any pain, not whether it's an illness or a trauma story, whatever it is that they're giving me, there's no pain. But there's a big difference between looking at somebody who died because they had lung cancer and their heart was giving out and their loved ones are with them, and somebody who maybe, you know, dies in a plane crash or who gets murdered because somebody shot them, or you know, somebody who maybe got run over by a car. I mean, the stories are endless, and they're specific. Mm-hmm. And there's even a huge difference between somebody's life being taken from them and somebody's life being lost in the trauma. So the murders and homicides.
What about suicides? What category does that fall in?
That falls into a trauma as well, because it's something that becomes a choice.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to talk about the pain of making that choice or whatever was going on with them. And suicides to me are kind of specific in two different ways too, not to break it up into two categories, but there are some suicides who loved ones will come through who will admit that they're responsible for their own crossing, but they will not call it a suicide. I believe that if a spirit crossed of sound mind and body by their own hand, they'll call it a suicide. If a spirit crossed because they wanted to get higher than higher than high and kept taking the drugs so it killed themselves and they knew it was going to happen, or if somebody was on medication or had PTSD, I often hear that as a statistical reason why they take their life, but they were not of sound mind and body when they did it.
Right.
Which is also important.
Yeah, of course.
People to hear.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think of the I've heard that at the moment, that the actual moment when the spirit crosses over and leaves the body, let's say we're talking about something like from trauma, okay? Your plane's about to crash, and right before impact, I heard that the spirit is whisked out of the body. So there's really no pain associated that the spirit feels. What do you think about that? Is there any truth to that?
I would say, yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. I remember reading this one story. I believe it might have been a Reader's Digest. It was many, many moons ago. There was a man who was in a car accident, and there was traffic. And the person behind him was traumatized by the accident.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing that he had crossed. The person behind them was complaining. Oh, my God, now there's traffic. The person behind them was saying a prayer. I hope this person is okay.
Huh.
And so I wondered always, you know, are they okay?
Yeah.
If they had an accident and died, did this really happen? And in the story, it goes on to say that they had a near-death experience and they wound up coming back to their body and remembering that the person three cards back had prayed for them.
Wow. Very interesting.
And I thought, this is very interesting to me.
Yeah.
I was like, so did he have pain? Did he not have pain? Did the prayers help? Like, all this stuff was running through my head.
Very interesting.
When I die, Roman,
mm-hmm.
let's say I'm in an accident like that and I'm going to die. I hope that my soul is not taken from my body. I want to feel every single solitary moment of my soul separating from every cell in my body. I want to be stubborn. I want to stay. Whether I'm going to die or not it doesn't matter. I could be in pieces for all I care. I want to feel it. I'm going to be that person. I want to be strong like that.
Hey, you know what?
However, I think you have a choice. Roman, if you're in that accident and you don't want to feel anything and it's coming, I think you have every option to hop as well.
Right. Interesting.
I think we make that choice at that moment.
So we have a caller on line 3. His name is Mark, and he has a question for you.
Sure.
Would you like to take the call? Sure.
Oh, that'd be great.
Here we go.
Hi, Rebecca. Good evening.
Hi, Mark.
Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you. So, Rebecca, we met you in July of 2 years ago. We had lost our son very suddenly, and we were beside ourselves, and we were fortunate enough to find Ran and Bob and met you in Chester. And it was a wonderful experience to be with you. I have a question. It's been a couple years and I'm really struggling. I was very close kindred spirit relationship. And I'm just wondering if, you know, I'm frustrated because I'm not seeing any signs. At least I'm not perceiving any signs. And, I just don't know. I'm just kind of bewildered as to whether he's, you know, trying to, you know, communicate.
Yes. That's a great question, Mark.
Mark, you're not alone. And forgive me for not recognizing who you are by your voice, but I am so glad that
That's
we were
okay.
able to connect. I love the Forever Family's grief retreats. They are magical in all ways, and they do, you know, open up different ways and teach everybody different ways to connect. I have a trick for this, but you have to be open to it. We, especially when it's somebody you've lost suddenly, like you did your son in an accident, and the more you had that close kinship relationship, the harder it is, because when a sign does come through, it balances and teeters on joy and grief. It can ignite a grief as well as bring you the tiniest bit of peace for the period of time you need it. Grief is not measurable, not by years, not by age, none of it. So know that when the signs come through, I do believe it's very important to acknowledge that it will make you feel a certain way. And by acknowledging that, it does kind of like open your eye a little wider. But here's the trick. We're human. We are completely human. And your son was also human. We have 5 senses that we can absorb information, right? We have to see, hear, smell, taste, touch. If you're not receiving signs from him or seeing them, even if you're missing them, which we all do, you are allowed to tell him, this is the sign I want, and this is when I want it. And I know that may sound a little outside the box because you're asking for something from somebody who's not humanly in front of you or concrete to affirm that you've been heard. However, I do find that they need us to acknowledge the physical signs they send us. It's great when you feel them next to you. I'm sure he's standing with you right now. And I'm sure that with that brings a lot of heavy heart anxiety. Those waves start coming back. When their energy is around us, it affects our human body. So the signs that we talk about, you know, like the top 10, the butterflies, the pennies, the quarters, nines, nickels, the, you know, getting a feather, hearing a song on the radio, you know, finding a heart-shaped stone, you know, just all the different dragonflies and birds and hawks and the key things that we notice, they love to make sure that those things are right in our face. So do you have a specific sign that you have already assigned to him?
No.
Okay. Really. Very important that you do that. And I always say, start with something. And then if you notice you start getting something else, say, okay. Like I remember telling my grandmother she was going to be a nickel. I found 5 dimes in one day. I'm like, okay, apparently you're a dime.
Mm-hmm. You know,
then you have to take that sign and you have to repeat it. And you have to repeat it and repeat it. I had a woman in my office the other day. She said she gets a butterfly every day. And everybody in the room's like, ah, what do you mean? And she's like, I listened to what Rebecca said. I get a butterfly. I say hello to my mom. I love her. I tell her I can't wait to talk to her again. I get a butterfly the next day. I say hello. I can't believe it. Another butterfly. Thank you. I love you. She gets a butterfly the next day. So it's actually responding to that physical message and sign that you're going to get. And you have to assign it.
Just one, I don't want to take a lot of your time, but when we first met you, you know, I was in a group setting. And actually, you know, I think my son did come through to you, but following that July, we were fortunate enough to attend a Laura Lynn event that Forever mm-hmm. Family had organized in October, and it was, you know, a very large room, and you know, several hundred people there. We were seated at tables with people we didn't know, mm-hmm. and just as the proceeding, you know, as the afternoon unfolded, Laura Lynn started to circulate around the room, you know, and started at the far end of the room and ultimately worked her way towards us and literally stopped at our table and engaged my wife and I for a very long time. I almost felt uncomfortable.
No, because spirit does what spirit needs to do.
There you go.
And that's but great. Her comment was that my son was, you know, had tremendous energy, had a lot he wanted. What he was trying to do. But it seems to me 2 years since I had this.
Take
I just haven't had any connection. And I don't know if was he with me or not with me.
It's impossible for him to not be with you. It's impossible for him to not be connected to you.
Yeah.
It's possible for us to miss it, but not impossible. Mark, you are completely normal in your questions. You are normal in your grief, and you are normal in your disconnect from getting the signs. And the hope for
is
for
my
you
grief
from
is me, my grief just standing in the way? Is that
no,
what's happening?
No, absolutely not. Grief is an emotion. When we're angry, we punch. When we're grieving, we get all angry. When we're joyful, we laugh. When we're, you know, I mean, there's so many different aspects. But grief is an emotion. You're allowed to have it, go through it, and experience it. Don't deny it. Don't push it aside.
Yeah.
You know, we're not laughing and smiling all the time, but we're not crying all the time either.
Mark,
and it's
I also lost a son.
No.
Mark, I also lost a son about 10 years ago.
So,
that's how I got into this whole thing with the research studies of mediums and all that. All I can tell you is, for me, I think more time has passed, and I still grieve. The waves will get smaller, the grief waves, as time goes. Mm-hmm. But like
they're actually getting
says,
they're actually getting worse.
Well,
and they will.
That,
they'll go up and down.
Yeah, they will. What can I say is you will just keep asking for a sign, a specific sign. It has worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
It'll happen.
Just real
In
quick.
In other words, Mark, pick a sign right now. What's it going to be?
Yeah.
I don't even know. I wouldn't know what to think of.
Well,
what's
think
the first thing that comes to your mind? Did he have a favorite song or a favorite bird or a favorite bug or a favorite something along those lines?
I'd have to think about it. I don't know. Just one quick question. I'll let you go. I don't want to monopolize
it. Yeah, we have some callers waiting on the line, so we got to really.
Yeah, in the situation that I just described where Laura Lynn just stopped and just, you know, I don't know how, you know, what brought her to us because she's been. Do you, in your own practice, have situations where you get that kind of a strong, I don't even know how to describe it, a strong connection, I guess I could say? Where it just,
honestly,
you know,
I feel like every one of my connections is a strong connection. They're all different and they're all unique.
Yep.
But when spirit wants to get through to somebody, they do it. So, yes, absolutely. And love that.
Okay.
Thank you for your call,
well,
Mark.
Thank you both for your time. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
No problem, Mark.
Take
I'll
care.
Be thinking of you.
All right. And now we have Jessica on line 4 who has a question for you.
Okay.
Jessica, are you with us? All right, we're going to see if we can get Jessica on.
Hello, Jessica.
We're going to go for a little quick commercial break to hear from our sponsors, and when we come back, maybe we can reconnect with Jessica or with our other callers. Okay, so stay tuned, everybody. This is a fascinating show with Rebecca, and we'll see Cicero.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death, and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook could be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, everybody. We're here talking with Rebecca Anlo Cicero, and it's been a fascinating hour so far. We've been talking about the violent deaths and unexpected deaths and what happens during the transition and all that kind of stuff. And we did get another caller. We have Jessica. Jessica, welcome to the show.
Hi there. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, Jessica.
I just, it's Jessica from Survivors. I just wanted to just call in and say thank you so much for everything that you do.
Oh my goodness. Let me tell them who you are and what you do. This is Jessica. She is a volunteer who works with a group called Survivors of Homicide. Please say just a little bit about it, Jessica.
Oh, so we're a nonprofit organization that provides a variety of services for family and friends who have lost a loved one to murder.
Yes. Those are the hardest groups.
Right.
And I say that every time I go, I sit down and I volunteer my services to their group meetings once a year. And I've come a couple times now, Jessica.
And, yes. Oh, my God. And our group loves her.
When I go and I sit in front of the group, it's when I was telling you guys, telling you, Roman, how when I feel somebody's crossed of an illness, it's one way. But then when I feel somebody's crossed in a traumatic way, it's a whole different feel to my vibration and the way that I have to bring it through. I don't even know how to describe it. It's just different. It's not painful, but it's different. And you can't cover your eyes to it. And here I walk into a room and it's all of them. I'm like, okay, you guys are already mad and grieving. Let's go into this now and have some fun.
Oh, yeah.
But I've read you too, Jessica.
Oh, yes, you did. you told me things that no one else could have known.
Oh, what do you think is the most helpful part when a medium has connected with some people who've lost their loved ones to murder?
It gives them a sense of peace. When you lose a loved one in such a horrific way, just knowing that they are at peace is just something you can't even compare. It gives our families just hope, if nothing else.
Right. And just knowing that, you know, they're still there, they're living, they're alive, they're just mm-hmm. in a different form.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, that's...
Knowing that they're not stuck, knowing that they're not in limbo, knowing that they don't have pain, knowing that they don't have, like, a pressing desire for some kind of an earthly revenge or I find their desire often is to make sure that their loved ones know that it is what it is and that, you know, you can be mad as you want to be, but at the same time, don't look to try to fix something you can't fix and that what is what is. And that can be hard to say to somebody, but usually that's what spirit wants to get across when there's a homicide.
That is that's some words of wisdom right there. I mean, it's very hard to accept that, you know, for us as humans, you want justice, you want vengeance, you want
mm-hmm.
Closure.
Mm-hmm.
These are certain things that we as humans experience or thrive on that I don't think spirit has a need for it.
No, they don't. Jessica, thank you so much for calling in
yeah.
and for saying hello and for letting me know that, you know, it is helping with your organization. I love volunteering with you.
Oh, we love you too. And thank you so much. And have a great rest of the evening.
Thank you, Jessica. So I had another question for you, Rebecca.
Sure.
It's the, you know, the perpetrator of a violent crime, okay, when they transition over, they're obviously going to carry that baggage with them.
Hmm.
Now, is there a difference in terms of, okay, if somebody committed a crime voluntarily, like premeditated, or as opposed to a random act of violence?
See, now this is where listeners might get a little not mad at me, but
okay.
they might not quite understand my
mm-hmm.
perspective on this. So
okay.
I'll try to put it out there as honestly as I can.
Okay, it's a difficult question.
Yes. The good, the bad, and the ugly all go to the same place.
Okay.
When soul transitions,
mm-hmm.
they know the answer. They know why. So let's say somebody premeditated, killed, whether it be one of these mass shootings, whether it be an individual, you know, family stranger. When they cross, they know why they did that. When they cross, because they know why they did that, they have peace. Now, when they come through to me, if it's somebody, because I've unfortunately and fortunately been able to experience the ugly come through. And it's horrible because they know why and they don't apologize. So I've had a father come through who had killed the mother and I was sitting with the daughter.
Oh, boy.
And, of course, you know, I don't want to hear from him kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
However, he made it a point to come through. Not trying to shed love, not trying to make amends, but to say, I know why, and you'll know why someday too. Don't carry anger. They don't have anger. They don't have judgment. They don't have regret. When we cross over, what's the point of dying and going to heaven if you don't have an opportunity to have peace in your heart over what you've done? I personally have never taken anyone's life, but I'm by far no means perfect. I don't think anybody here is. Otherwise, we'd have a lot of stones at glass houses. But there's there's a distinct reality to the fact that I can't imagine anyone who has done anything horrible like that not crossed over and having peace in some way. I don't know the process, but I know the second you cross over, you're okay. There's no time. So it's not like you have to sit there for 10 years and be in judgment of yourself. It happens instantly. And that may be painful. I'm not sure. I don't know. But there is a definite reality. So I'm going to put it to you this way, and this is usually where, you know, I kind of would lose people because, you know, if you've lost somebody who's been killed, you're mad, and the person who did it is a bad person. And that's a human cognitive way to think of it, and I agree.
Right, that's making
it's
sense.
It's not like I want to be friends with anybody who murdered anybody, you know what I mean?
Of course.
However, I live in Connecticut. We had Sandy Hook.
Mm-hmm.
That was an unbelievable pinnacle starting point of mass shootings that was violence against all these little tiny baby children.
Mm-hmm.
There were 26 people who died in that school. The shooter also died,
mm-hmm.
and so did his mother. All a tragedy. Did he have issues? Yes. Was he an evil person in the human body? Probably, if you want to define it that way. However, when those children crossed over, they knew why. So when he crossed over, he knew why. So in some way, they all have peace. That doesn't make the situation right. It doesn't mean that anybody needs to say, oh, he's not a bad guy. Hell yeah, he was a bad guy. You know, I'm not justifying the situation in any shape, way, or form, but I'm acknowledging to you what I as a medium feel when I see spirit who's done something violent.
There's also a large school of thought that when you do transition, you transition to a vibrational state that equals your, you know, the highest vibration that you can possibly attain. And
mm-hmm.
there's different levels on the other side, from, you know, nirvana at level 7 to, you know, what's close to hell on level 1 kind of thing. And most
mm-hmm.
normal people cross into what's called Summerland, which is level 3 or level 4 just by being, you know, a decent person or whatever. What do you think about all of that?
You know, Roman, I'm well read on all of the
mm-hmm.
topics that you're
yep.
mentioning. I'm also
yep.
well read on I have a theology degree, so I'm kind of well read on the different
mm-hmm.
religions and perspectives of
yep.
the transitions in heaven and in the afterlife. I can only speak from my own experience, and I'm 46 years old, and in 24 years of doing this work and 46 years of being alone, alive and connecting with spirit,
mm-hmm.
none of them are on a different level or vibration than the other.
Okay.
I would include in that, and just a side note that, you know, maybe some of our deities that we put energy into, some of our religious leaders in different religions, you know, that we may put a vibration into, we may feel them stronger, or some people may have a stronger connection to them, especially through healings. I know a lot of people access guides and saints to work, you know, with them when they're healing. However, when it comes to speaking to loved ones crossed or mm-hmm. the average human, I guess I can say,
yeah.
That doesn't have a mystical, you know, I
right,
can't debate
right.
that part.
Mm-hmm.
But I can say that I don't see that. I don't see different levels. When you're crossed,
okay.
you're crossed. And
right.
the levels come in when us who are left behind decide to define where we believe somebody may be on that level.
Interesting.
I still feel it's a human perspective. I don't
right,
think
right,
we can
right.
we can put that into words.
That's really fascinating. You know what? We're going to take another quick commercial break.
Okay.
And when we get back, we're going to continue with this very fascinating topic.
Wonderful.
All right.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, The Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program. Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love knows no death. A groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Parisetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation. at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Medium Hour with Rebecca Ann Lucicero. We're talking about transitioning and murders and violent crossings and how that might affect communication, and it's been a really fascinating hour. So we were talking about just right before the commercial break, we talked about the different spirits and different levels of, you know, good spirits, bad spirits, the good, the bad, the ugly, where they transition. And Rebecca, you're saying that in your experience, it's all kind of like the same place that they go to, and you haven't really seen
But they always come through in true personality. They have to come through, you know, as you would have known them. So
right.
So you're not going to get like some really nice person coming in mean, or a really mean person coming in nice.
So you will have bad spirits.
Through in truth, so you recognize them, but as far as where they go when they transition, mm-hmm. I don't see any limitations.
Okay.
I have
and
not
also,
yet.
On the same token, you don't become all knowing when you cross over either. You retain pretty much your personality, right?
Oh, you absolutely. Forgive me as I feel spirit might have just thrown the phone from my hand. Not
wow.
On a landline. Let's figure that one out.
You got,
it's like,
got some butterfingers.
I'm so sorry about that.
That's pretty funny.
Go ahead and ask that again.
Okay, so yeah, so you don't become like an omnipotent person when you cross over, all knowing or anything like that. You pretty much retain the same personality, right?
Yes, I would have to say, excuse me, I would have to say yes. You retain your true personality. For us, when they communicate with me as the medium, they retain their true personality and they show me pieces of that true personality. Because we're human, kind of like what I was saying to Mark when he was on the phone, you know, five senses, they
right.
need to be understand what it is that I'm seeing, hearing, feeling, you know, et cetera, for them in order to make the connection, to make the mediumship have any validity at all. So when I consider that part, then, you know, that to me, I know is extremely limited. It is a very limited stream of information that they're sharing with me. So what I can assume that they're not sharing would be anything that would be beyond my human ability to acknowledge or understand,
mm-hmm.
or also information I'm not supposed to know or that won't be, you know, validatable. So if somebody came through and said, you know, oh, you know, I'm her brother, this is validation, boom, 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 okay, verified. Okay, and he's going to start telling me he's had five different lifetimes and he's been this person all these other times and the unvalidatable. But I feel as if their soul does have other lifetimes of information within it. I can feel that when they speak to me, but they don't give me that information because it's not something that the medium can give and validate. They also, they've explained it to me once before that it's not that they know everything, but they are connected to the all.
Mm-hmm.
So it is always possible to bring through and understand. So I put it this way in a little parable of a story. I'm not a very good gardener, but Roman, maybe you are. Okay.
Okay.
So
no, not really. But go ahead.
Let's fast forward and let's say that I'm not a good gardener and you are a good gardener. You
mm-hmm.
die. Sorry. Rest in peace. I have a daughter who said, hey, Ma, let's start a garden. And I started a garden with her, and then I died. Rest in peace, Rebecca. So now, Roman, you and I, we don't know each other, but you're in the afterlife, and you know how to garden. I'm in the afterlife, and I do not. My daughter then goes to the garden and says up to the sky, to me, wherever I am, and she says, Mom, help me with this garden. I instantly and with love can tap into you and your knowledge of gardening to help my daughter.
Oh, that's pretty fascinating.
So it's more about the shared experiences, which kind of is the all of everything we might want to know.
Right. That plays
into the,
I believe is
something we can all tap into to share. So it's not about like necessarily telling the future or having this or having that. But right. I may go, you know, I may be able to tap into you who says, oh, no, you need to grow the mammoth sunflowers there. Those are the only ones that'll work. And right. I'll be able to maybe, you know, have a packet of mammoth sunflowers fall down in front of my daughter while she's shopping. So but I only did. Oh, Mom, those are the ones I'll get. And I'll go, thanks, Roman.
That kind of plays into the fact that, or the belief that, you know, we're all part of the one, you know what I mean? And God, to better understand everything, has split his consciousness into many, many consciousnesses that just, you know, collect information from different perspectives.
And that's where I think the scientific part of it comes into, too, because then we have to think, well, what is the quantum physics of that? And is that a flow of energy? Is it something tap-inable? Is it the Akasha records?
Yeah.
Is it, you know, and that just leads you to reading hundreds of books and watching lots of documentaries. And
yes. Been there.
It's a rabbit hole.
Oh, yes, absolutely. There's a lot of evidence about that.
Right, right. So, you know, you take what you can connect to and you adapt to what your experiences can be.
I like that idea.
With the mediumship part of it, though, I do believe there is more to the soul than what the soul has told me.
Right.
All of those souls, every once in a while, they give me a piece. The other day I was doing a gallery and I'm reading this beautiful woman and her mom comes through. And then her mom mentioned that there's a baby coming. So I says to this woman, is there a baby coming? Is her granddaughter coming? And she says, yes, she's having a granddaughter. My niece is having a baby. And for a split second, I knew it was a girl or it was going to be a girl. So I says, is it going to be a girl? And the woman says, yes. Now, I've been doing this for 24 years, and it was the first time I ever felt this. All of a sudden, for a split second, I felt that baby girl's soul and that soul's excitement to be born. It was like a joy, a euphoric, euphoria. That's not, I mean, for lack of a better word, the extreme of a euphoric feeling.
Right.
That she was going to be born. She let me know how good it felt. And that was something new. It's a new thing that I got to feel from spirit. That while they were there, they had excitement to come here. I've felt different things too. I felt somebody who, you know, had a near-death experience and they were in the middle of a near-death experience when I communicated with them. I thought they were gone.
Right.
They were actually in a coma in a hospital. But the communication with the soul was the same, even though it wasn't consciously connecting to the body. And it was, and that soul was telling me, I feel so good, but I don't want to leave yet. And I thought, interesting. Of course, I found out after the reading he wasn't gone yet, and he did survive. But there was there's this desire that they have expressed to me a few times in undescribable ways that they do want to be here. You know, that when we're incarnate, we're really happy to be here. Even though we're curious about the other side, we're happy to come.
I look at it as we're very brave souls that embarked on a journey to go through this life of hardship, you know? I mean, it's a lot tougher than on the other side. I mean, there you think of something and it can materialize pretty much, or you can be instantaneously where you want to be. Here, you got to put on your winter coat and trudge to the car and drive and take a plane. You know, I mean, it's just we're physically bound here, and it just makes it a lot harder. So I heard, you know, from all my studies, it's a learning experience, and we're on a fast path to learning some of the hard lessons, soul lessons that need to be learned, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have been moving, you know, first dimension, third dimension, fifth dimension, sixth dimension. You know, we're definitely, as a soul, waking up to all of the different, you know, scientific possibilities and philosophical possibilities and opportunities, and we're diving in like never before, you know, from monks that meditate for years on end to the spiritualists like myself who consciously give, you know, to the unconscious mind. It's a fascinating time to think about all of that, those different aspects.
Absolutely. And right now with the internet and instant communication, it's, you know, all of this stuff is very communicable with, mm-hmm. with other people. And, you know, it's amazing. It's a good time to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So listen, before we leave, I okay. want to talk a bit more about you and
okay.
why don't you let our listeners know where you practice, how they can schedule some time with you, that kind of stuff.
Okay. Well, let me promote an event.
Okay.
On August 17th and 18th, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, mm-hmm. I'm producing a free event. It's free entry. It's at the Mohegan Sun Earth Convention Center. So that's Mohegan Sun Casino in Connecticut, but mm-hmm. it's actually in their convention center on the back end of their casino buildings. And it is a beautiful ballroom. There'll be 74 vendors, all with metaphysical fields and expertises, healers, readers, jewelry, stones. The Forever Family Foundation will be there.
Of course.
The Forever Family Foundation is going to have a booth at this expo, so they'll be there both days. So you can come and, sign up and become a free member and get lots of information. And then one of our fellow certified mediums, Joe Peretta, and I will mm-hmm. be doing an event on Saturday night together, reading. But it's a free event to get in, and it has free presentations all day long as well. So my work for me is complete humble. I want to be able to give and get an exchange enough to just, you know, get by, get happy, be good. If I need a little extra, I'll work a little extra. But when mm-hmm. it comes to this expo, I find it very important to share with others that there's so much more out there than just the concrete. Like, dive in and take a look. There's Reiki, there's, you know, angels, there's this, there's that. Just go play. A lot of health things, yoga and meditation. Northeast Connecticut, largest gong is going to be there doing gong healings and indigenous instruments. It's just fascinating. Anybody who can come, I hope they come. Find me. I'll be there. Say hello.
Is there a website promoting this event that people can
refer to? The Beyond Center. So TheBeyondCenter.com, just TheBeyondCenter. So the Beyond Center is a center in Vernon, Connecticut that I own, where my private office is, and I do gallery readings every Thursday night for the last 18 years. You just walk in, no reservations needed. It's $20. And I read as many people as I can in the 2 hours there. And the Beyond Center is what's actually hosting this expo. So that's where that cross-reference is. And my center, you know, it's been around now for a while, and it's, I do the private readings. Of course, I can do them on phone and Skype and all of that. But the center
it really
is
makes no difference.
Yeah. There is a difference, yes.
Is there a difference between reading in person and reading on the phone?
For me, there is. If you're going to get a reading on the phone, it's going to be equally as fantastic as in person, but it will be mm-hmm. different. Because if you're on the phone with me, you can't see my antics. You can't see my mannerisms. You can't see my facial expressions.
Yes. You are one of the funnest people I've ever met in my life, that's for sure.
Aww. Thank you so much, Roman.
I still remember that night at Bob and Friends when we were telling jokes all night and just a bunch of us. It was so much fun. I'll never forget that. That was great.
Well, life is good, and I love my job. I really do. Yeah. Whether you've lost somebody in a trauma or an illness or a homicide or, you know, however it may be, I love people. I love making the connections. I love showing somebody that afterlife is real and I laugh about it. I mean, goodness, who gave Rebecca this job?
Well, it's totally suited for you, that's for sure.
Thank you so much.
So thank you so much for, you know, enlightening us. I mean, this was fascinating. And we took a rather scary topic and talked about it in a very pleasant way, which is really, really cool.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. And with that, we're going to say goodnight. And
okay.
I cannot wait to see you and interview you again and just hang out sometime or whatever. I'm sure our paths will cross.
We'll have
anytime.
To make sure that we cross paths, especially with the Forever Family Foundation. We'll have to get in there and do something.
Yeah, absolutely. That'll be great. So as Bob and Fran love to remind us, our loved ones are just a heartbeat away, and that science is going to prove it one day. So with that, everybody, I bid you good night. Good night, Rebecca, and
good night, Roman.
We'll see you soon.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.